You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1. Well, back in 1974, 2 decades before the Tribunals of Inquiry, allegations against the then TD and Councillor Ray Burke about the rezoning of lands in North County Dublin were revealed in a story in the Sunday Independent by investigative journalist Joe McAnthony. Shortly after breaking the Ray Burke story, Joe McAnthony left Ireland for Canada. I spoke to him this weekend and began by asking him what he made of the opinion expressed in the Mahon report that corruption was endemic in Ireland.
What we have had in Ireland over the years is a kind of collaboration between different powerful influences together, and they create a circumstance in which at times it's virtually impossible to do anything. I mean, if I take the Ray Burke case itself, I mean, the story itself contained all the evidence for a criminal prosecution. Now, the thing about it was there was no police investigation. I was visited by a detective, and the detective said, after he took some notes and we talked for a while, and as he was leaving, he said to me, nothing will ever be done about this case. Anybody in I was looking through the years for evidence of the police actually going out and engaging in the kind of activity you see in other countries, which is if you have suspicions of criminal activity, you go out and raid their homes. And they never got search warrants through all those years. When I was asking about it, and never made searches of prominent politicians' homes, never pursued activity. And from that point of view, you had not just the corruption on the ground, you had the lack of prosecution above it. But I mean, I used to look in Canada. Let me give you an example of something. I was in the Parliament building one day doing some investigation or other, and the Mounties came into the Parliament building and went to the office of an MP whom they suspected was fiddling his expenses, and they ransacked his office. I mean, could you imagine that happening in the Dáil?
One of the forces in society that exerts pressure or is a voice for public opinion or expresses to the political system that there is no public tolerance for this kind of behaviour should be the media. Why, to your mind, then, given that these facts were in the public, were put into the public domain as early on as the 1970s, did it come ultimately to 2012 before we had a tribunal report of some 3,000 pages making findings? In this regard,
do you know what outrages me particularly in that? And that is the fact that I did a tot of, I had a journalist working with me, Paul Murphy. Paul got a first sniff of the story and he brought it to me, and we worked together on the story through. But so I did a tot of what it costs for. Paul was earning £48 a week. I was earning £77. I added them together. There were no expenses. So it was for 6 weeks. And it came to £756, the total cost of exposing Ray Burke. And what happened? You turn around and look. It took 15 years before anything was done. And then the tribunal. And it ultimately cost €200 million for what would have only cost 756 and the cost of carrying out a prosecution. And that's the big difference. And that's the loss when it comes to investigative journalism. The loss of those skills are making everything more expensive. An investigative journalist is somebody who gives people the information to make changes. Without the investigative journalist, matters are hidden and grow encrusted over the years and unchanged. The investigative journalist changes things. That's his job. It's showing up things that have gone wrong and should be put right.
And that was investigative journalist Joe McAnthony, who broke stories on the Irish sweepstakes and, as I mentioned earlier, about Ray Burke in the early 1970s. He was speaking to me from Toronto earlier, and you can get samples of his work on connemara.org if you're interested in that. Now, at the time, coming up to 2 o'clock, the latest news headlines.
Thomas Gilmartin Jr. has said his family is very pleased with the Mahon report after several years of media reports that his father, Tom Gilmartin, had been something other than a truthful witness. Speaking on this programme, he said they had had several years of being put through the trauma of watching their father being vilified by national politicians and certain sections of the media. Mr. Gilmartin said it was quite unpleasant for them, and they are very happy that the record has been put straight, to some extent at least. The Minister for Social Protection has said the deadline of March 31st to pay the household charge is ambitious. Speaking on this programme, Joan Burton said the Environment Minister Phil Hogan is making efforts to allow householders pay the charge at local post offices. Former Taoiseach Bertie Ahern's announcement that he is to resign from Fianna Fáil will not affect the agenda of next Friday's meeting of the party's national executive. That's according to Fianna Fáil Justice spokesperson Derek Leary, who said the fallout from the Mahon Tribunal report would still be considered and there'd be no formal contact from Mr. Ahern. And the Taoiseach Enda Kenny has arrived in Shanghai to join a week-long Irish trade mission to China. The mission wants to boost Irish exports and encourage Chinese investment in Ireland. Irish exports to China reached €3.3 billion last year, up 6% on the year before.
On the production team this week were Sinead Morris, Mark O'Flynn and on sound Bryony October. Our email address is thisweek@rte.ie. If you want to get in touch or make any comments on the programme, you can follow us on Twitter also at thisweekrte. And a reminder, you can listen back or download a podcast of the programme from the RTE player or on our website. The Week in Politics is on RTE One Television at 11:05 tonight, but from Fran McNulty and me, Cullum O'Mungoin, enjoy the weather and the rest of the Sunday afternoon.